Guess who's back? Totally back. It's GRDS Weekly. Well, hello, everybody. How the hell are you doing?
Yeah, our schedules are really messed up.
So, hi, everybody. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You might know us from Facebook, Twitter, and all those fun things. The Daily Show, which is a Monday to Friday 15-minute-ish or so podcast covering a wide variety of things with the structure that you'll get if you follow along. This is the sometimes weekly, occasionally monthly get together because, as stated, our schedules are really jacked up right now. The people whose schedules are jacked up, well, over there, the lady who had a difficult day, it's the Flintstress.
I am underpaid, underloved, and overworked. This place is hell.
Wow.
It was a hard day, but it wasn't a bad day.
Okay, then. The guy over there that just doesn't quite know what is and is not right in the world is Saucy.
You men owe me a new pair of slippers!
I don't owe you a damn thing.
Hi,
I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
He's pretty good.
Oh, where's
he? Good.
He's the best.
Aw. What'd you do, geeky, yo?
I've been doing tons of geeky stuff, and there's no way that I'm going to remember it all because it's been like a month, so I'm just going to hit the highlights, starting with
Goofus
Deadpool.
And Galot? Oh, okay.
Goofus and Galot. No, the
See, with the joke grenade, sometimes it's totally worth it.
Alrighty.
She enjoyed that one.
But not as much as I enjoyed Deadpool. Deadpool was awesome and pretty fun. Good. And we saw it at the movie theater.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can't wait for it to come out on DVD. It was super, super amazing fun.
It was the probably best adaptation of a comic book character to film that has ever been.
It was naughty and filthy and everything that Deadpool should be.
And, you know, really makes you have a whole new appreciation for Angel of the Morning at karaoke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were just so many little jokes. It was super fun. I think if you're listening to our podcast, you probably have seen it. But just in case
you haven't,
go seen it.
And seen just how much they were able to actually rip Marvel off without actually ripping Marvel Studios off, because they reference things subtly in this film that they're not allowed to because it's, you know, it's
right. Fun. Yeah, so it was, so well, it was definitely well done.
Well played. You're going to enjoy it when we buy it, Sussie.
Yeah, I'll see it someday.
Yeah. Also, in the movie theater, just recently we saw Superman versus Batman. Batman versus Superman. Why can I never remember the order?
Batman versus Superman. Batman's always
Superman.
First.
It's all alphabetical order, I guess.
By order of greatness.
Because I was trying to determine whether it was a Batman movie that Superman was in or if it was a Superman movie that Batman was in.
Neither.
Right.
It's a Batman and Superman movie.
Yeah, that Wonder Woman was in. Yeah, and
some cameos.
It's getting a lot of hate on the internet, and there were things about it that were definitely not good. But
yes,
overall, it was a fun time to be at the movies. Who doesn't want to go to the movies and see Superman and Batman?
Okay, here it is. If you follow us on any kind of social media, you know this, but here it is: Batman Superman, better than Iron Man 2, better than Iron Man 3, better than Thor: The Dark World. I've revised it a little bit. And better than Age of Ultron. My boy T. Morris agrees with me on that. He's like, hey, yeah, it's better than Age of Ultron. It is. It's not a great movie. But it is a pretty damn good movie. And most of your flaws, what you say are flaws with it, I'm sorry, but you're simply wrong about it. Once you realize that Ben Affleck is playing the Batman from the Detective Comics 27, the absolute original Batman, the whole thing makes sense.
You have to
multiverse.
Have more Batman knowledge, I think, to truly appreciate it. But you've always said, though, that... I think I understand what you're saying. You don't have to have Batman knowledge to appreciate the movie. You can just watch the movie in and of itself.
Yes.
But if you have limited Batman knowledge, you may get upset if it's not the Batman you think you're in for.
That's the whole thing. The people that I have never in my life seen geeks, very open-minded, smart geeks who have beaten down the concept of, oh, it's not the real. That's a silly argument. But people are literally going, it's not the real Batman. It's not the real Superman. It's not the real Lex Luthor. And I'm like, this is the same thing people levied against Tim Burton's Batman. It's not the real Batman because the public consciousness was Adam West.
Yeah, Adam West is such a thing. So, yeah.
And my parents, when Christopher Reeve's Superman came on TV, only way I got to watch it at the time, when it came on TV, they were lost because the Fortress of Solitude, like, what is this? Because for them, Superman was George Reeves.
Yeah.
So, people, multiverse.
It's all about perspective.
And Jesse Eisenberg was only Lex Luthor for 2 minutes.
I was just going to say that. He was Alexander Luthor.
He was Alexander Luthor. Multiverse. Good times.
Yeah.
I had a good time.
Definitely, definitely.
Saw it twice. Had a good time. Right.
Parts of it that were fun. So, and I enjoyed myself in the theater. And that's what it really comes down to, is having a good movie going.
And hey, for everyone that laughed and all the jokes and whatever, I'm sorry. Here and now, kudos to Ben Affleck. Holy shit. He's Batman.
Yeah.
Even better, he's Bruce Wayne. He's Batman. Wow.
He did a very good job. And I think, you know, the Batman versus Superman argument is like one of the big divisive issues in geekdom, even more so than Kirk and Picard. You know, I mean, like, who do you think would win in a battle? Superman versus Batman is definitely a very...
Batman.
Well, yes, because kryptonite exists. And if you sure. don't think Batman has some or can get some, then you
he
know,
always
that's always
has some. He's stated
that's,
it.
Right. That's always has. Been my assertion in that argument is that it's Batman because Batman will do whatever it takes. He's not the big blue Boy Scout. Batman wins this. But then, of course, even though it's versus in the title,
right.
it's not, I mean, spoiler alert or whatever. I mean, they end up like not. Yeah, they fight each other, but at the same time.
You mean comic book superheroes get together, have a misunderstanding, fight, and at the end of it are actually friends?
That's how they always are.
Didn't see that happen.
Yeah. They might as well just not even say versus. They might as well say Superman, Batman, team up. But I guess not as many people wanted to see that. Sorry. Batman, Superman, team up.
People or they could have said, you know. The world's finest movie. They didn't realize that this is what they were getting, even though it's in the title.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sets up the Justice League stuff, and
sure.
we'll see where it goes from there.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to Aquaman, personally.
That's
not just
because,
you know.
I saw a really, really cool meme today.
Yeah?
It was Aquaman. And
Aquanet.
It was Aquaman, and he was riding a Kraken, and he was like, worthless, huh?
Well, there was a very interesting team-up story that I have in a trade paperback somewhere, which teams up the Demon and Aquaman. And yes, it is a demon somewhat like a Kraken, an aquatic demon that once a year they have to stop. And it's like, holy shit. Yeah, we make fun of Aquaman, but damn. So yeah, absolutely.
And plus he controls like all the beings of the oceans.
Yeah.
Like great white sharks right. And orcas.
Right?
He's a badass.
Thank you.
But all you have to do to defeat him is go to Nebraska.
He doesn't have to be in water. And
For a long time, they did have it set up to where he couldn't be out of water for more than an hour, which really kind of, the whole Super Friends era, the Super Friends era did not bode well for Aquaman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made him super.
Well, they're about to make him badass again, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah,
definitely.
Cool.
And of course, Wonder Woman. I've always been a huge Wonder Woman fan,
yep.
and I thought Gal Gadot was really great.
Yep.
I think it just like, it took me the second viewing of the picture to notice anyone else in the picture, and I was just like, whoa. That's the movie, like, beyond all what I can't, like, total geek out for is the Wonder Woman movie.
Well, next year.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, let's talk about The Walking Dead.
Let's talk about The Walking Dead.
Oh, Spencer, have you watched The Walking Dead?
Spencer has not watched The Walking Dead.
Are you ever going to watch it again?
Yeah.
Yes, he's going to watch it again. He's going to get a chance to. My man was out.
Well, I mean, they left us on a major cliffhanger, and that's not
they did.
Saying a spoiler because I didn't say anything that happened.
And it's a season finale.
I might as well tell you what didn't happen because we didn't see things happen. Things happen without us knowing about them.
So here's how you do it. Here's mm-hmm. why I am the odd geek out currently.
Okay.
Because I am publicly stating that I enjoyed Batman versus Superman. And that I was disappointed with the season finale of The Walking Dead. There's some good things in there. There really is. There really, really is. But when you get to the cliffhanger, there's people go, oh, it's a great story. No, I find that cliffhanger to be incredibly lazy. I find that to be an easy way out of what it is that they want to do. And it's just a way to string us along. And for everyone out there that has said to me, well, you know, they used to do things like who shot JR? Sure. Sure, they did.
On soap operas.
Well, Dallas.
Was it
prime time
soap opera?
Certainly it was. However, and I understand because of the internet or whatever, but the difference is when they did Who Shot JR, they didn't tell us 6 months ahead of time, we're going to shoot JR at the end of the season, just so you know. What happens at the end of The Walking Dead, because you've stayed away from spoilers, so you shouldn't know. What happens at the end of The Walking Dead is something they've told us at least since November that they were going to do. They've told us that this is going to happen. And the way they presented it, I think, cheapened the overall effect of what was, for the most part, a fantastic episode.
Like, I guess, Saucy, cover your ears for a second.
Earmuffs.
Okay.
Earmuffs.
Like, we should be mourning this whole summer.
Exactly.
We should be having, the character should be getting his due.
We should
his
think
or her
about
due.
What happened.
And that's the conversation that should be going on this summer is, oh my God, can you believe that they killed X, Y, and Z? As opposed to who did they kill? Let's have all these conspiracy theories because we're not going to know.
Matter.
It doesn't matter. And now having finding out at the very beginning of next season who it was is just going to be like, oh, okay. And it's not going to have the same impact.
No. Although, there's some people out there, for some people it will. And
but it, I mean, I definitely felt though the tension throughout the episode.
Oh, definitely.
Like, I don't know, and you can uncover your ears now. So it definitely evokes emotions when you're watching the show.
Certainly.
But I just wonder, like, how much of it are they doing to get conversation, to get buzz on the internet, you know? Like, what is the point of the show? To tell a good story or to shock people?
Well, knowing what I know about the comics, we are. However, this show has been at very good comic book moments, storylines that they've messed up, and some they've got. This needs to go off, and it needs to go off right. But I'm completely with you. The cliffhanger should not be what they want us to think for the summer. It should be our ability to process that and what that means.
Yep. So, which reminded me that Batman versus Superman robbed me of my one comic book moment where you're supposed to see, a very iconic image.
Right.
After a cataclysmic event.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they did that.
And they totally robbed me of it. That's okay.
You went fanboy.
They borrowed, if you will, from a variety of different comic storylines.
Certainly did.
And then to have one major one, you know, as soon as the big bad guy is revealed, then it's just like, oh, I know what's coming.
And in all fairness, for everybody rolling their eyes right now about, I've heard CGI was horrible. I want you to know that, yes, the first time I saw it, I'm sitting there with Kever. And when we see that, I lean over to Kever and I go, oh, great. They have a cave troll. So, yeah, I'm willing to acknowledge things like that.
Yes. Now, it was not a perfect movie, but it was not, fun.
But it was a hell of a lot of fun.
DC's got a lot going on right now. We've also watched Legends of Tomorrow.
Right.
And Arrow and The Flash. We are caught up on Legends of Tomorrow.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Close.
You're close. And
Saucy was out of town for a week.
What a crazy, crazy place.
Yeah, so Legends of Tomorrow, I really like it. It's super fun. But time travel in general has always been one of those genres of sci-fi that I'm very interested in, and kind of like the mapping of it out. Like, for them to be stranded there for too
long?
Yeah.
It was pretty fun. No, you just got to roll with it. This is how the world works. This is simply how the world works.
Well, and we're behind on some things and ahead on other things. Right. So, like, we're never going to match up with how the world works. I just don't want to spoil it for my friend who's sitting in the same room as me, you know?
Okay. Well, he's doing what he normally does, which is not paying attention
to me at all.
So
okay. That sounds about right. So, but I like the team. Like, they're all weird and they don't go together at all. Like, I think with some teams, you think that, the ragtag misfits, they don't go together at all. But this team doesn't go together at all, but yet they kind of do, you know? So I'm definitely enjoying the show. And Arrow and The Flash are still, you know, doing their thing, going strong. I think we only still watch Arrow because it ties in with everything else, even though Arrow has been getting a little bit better. Okay. There was a period there where Arrow was getting a little bit soap opery. I don't mind having Love as part of the storyline, but Arrow was just getting a little like dun dun dun, like people turning around dramatically. I don't know. There was something about Arrow that was just getting like less about the story and more about the
what would happen if he finally confessed his love to somebody that he's loved his entire life? How soap opery would that be when the ramifications of that happen when she's engaged now? Oh my God, you tell me now. Oh wait, no, that was Flash. Never mind, it wasn't Arrow. Never mind.
Yeah, so you were saying that The Flash is also soap opery, and it can be.
Not as much
as
Arrow.
But it's more fun.
Right, yeah.
Flash has the fun element of it that Arrow doesn't really have.
It's a serious show.
Plus, I'm invested.
You're invested?
I'm invested.
Invested, okay. You're invested in Arrow?
No, Flash.
Oh, yeah. I was like,
we were talking about why we're still watching Arrow.
Yeah. See, I told you didn't listen to you.
Speaking of Green Arrow, the latest episode of Legends of Tomorrow has Green Arrow in it.
Oh, I know which one you're at then.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the very end.
Yeah.
And he's all like, not white.
Right. And you'll remember him because on The Flash, when Barry went to Earth 2, that was one of the people he saw in the multiple Earth things.
Huh.
Man. Multiverse.
Right.
Love it.
So, and The Flash has been, I thought that maybe Earth 2 and some of the storyline was going to be a little bit on the silly side. And not silly, what am I trying to say?
I don't know.
I feel like it's really a good time to be a geek. We've talked about this and how there's just so much geeky TV on the air. And then there's all these geeky movies. And it's almost like it's hard to keep up with. Our DVR keeps getting behind, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I think, like, are we pushing so far out of like the mainstream of comics sometimes that we're talking. I mean, like there's a show on TV where they're just like bouncing back and forth with different worlds in the DC universe. Is this too much for your average, you know, viewer to handle? I don't know.
No, I don't think so, because you're just really tying it into other things that exist there. But if it wasn't a pre-existing property, if it was a brand new show, for instance, Voyagers, the fantastic show Voyagers, which featured people hopping around in time on our Earth and stuff, you didn't need to know the overall plot. I mean, hell, I had no idea what was going on in Doctor Who for the longest time, but I was there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. And like, I like the way that they're doing it in the show, but you think about the multiverse could be the ultimate cop-out. Be like, oh, this doesn't fit in continuity. It was a different universe. Or, oh, somebody visits so-and-so that they're not supposed to have a crossover with. Oh, it was a different universe.
Well, that's why The Flash becomes very important, because of the thing we saw at the end of the very first episode.
I don't remember.
Flash disappears.
Where? When? Because it said.
2066.
No, the headline was not a date. The headline was, Flash disappears in crisis.
Right.
Right. And right now, a bunch of geeks just went, what? I know what that means.
Yep. So yeah, also on TV, I'm watching Vikings.
Right.
Yeah. And I've watched a couple more of those episodes, but I'm not caught up on Vikings yet.
Yeah.
But this show is also, sometimes it's really good, and sometimes it's a little soap opera-y too. Plus, here's the thing, like casting directors who cast actors and actresses who like strongly resemble each other. There are these two girls with the long brown hair that look like a lot alike, and it's hard to keep track of like who's who, especially when they're supposed to be speaking all these different languages.
The right. One in Essex.
Essex in Paris.
Oh, in Paris, right.
And then yeah. There's another girl who also kind of looks like them too.
I wish that wasn't even part of the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because the show is called Vikings. I don't care about like court politics in Paris. I don't care about it.
Depicting like the way that Europe kind of like tried to do the whole thing where we're going to change this culture. You know, you've got
assimilation into their culture.
You've got Ragnar's brother just like camping out.
Right. Because you don't really have like, you still have Catholics, but you don't really still have people who are active Vikings anymore. It's like they wiped out the Vikings with their beliefs.
The important two questions. So these two look enough alike to be sort of identical?
Kind of ish, yeah.
Do they ever fight each other?
No, they're in totally different like cities or anything like that. I know you got
pointless and wasted.
You got a twin thing. And they just had one of the girls cut her hair. So I think that they could try to tell who. That does help actually a little bit. But there's still two that looked a whole lot of things. And I understand you want to pick your actors and actresses based on talent. But it can't be like, sorry, we already got one little skinny brown haired girl.
I was thinking you should get a haircut. Why is that? So you don't look like somebody else? Okay.
Or even just not get a haircut. Just cast somebody different. I'm sorry. We already have somebody who looks like this. So
we'll make him a redhead.
Yeah, something different. Just mix it up some. Have
hair dye. What the hell?
Or yeah, make her wear a wig or something. It's just they just look too much alike and it gets kind of confusing. But it's still interesting. I'm going to watch it. But there's definitely some episodes that aren't as good as others.
Okay.
I'm also behind on episodes, but we watched The Outsiders, which is these like...
I love Essie Hinton.
Stay gold. There's a television show about those people who live up on a mountain. They're like this family, like a very large extended kind of clan family, and they have this land and they say it's their land and the oil company has quote unquote bought it and wants to kick them off their land, and like it's like Sons of Anarchy Hillbilly edition sort of. It's got that same sort of like the kind of drama that happened on Sons of Anarchy. It's that kind of show.
The so Sons have you watched of Consternation?
Have you watched more of that?
No.
Okay.
I haven't.
What do you think about it?
And everything. I like it so far. It's a great show. Opie is epic. I don't know his real name. Yeah, I'm sure
the actor who played Opie on Sons of Anarchy.
God-given name, but he's Opie to me. I like him.
See, I think Ron Howard when you say that.
I know there's probably like a gazillion million other things on my Geeky Sweek, but I will chime in later and say that has been my Geeky Sweek.
You'll chime in later and say that?
Oh, no. Right now I will say it, and I reserve the right to chime in later.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Bitches.
All right. She meant that.
Right?
Right.
So I was out of town last week. I went home to do some work on some land that we acquired, my family, of course. And so I cleared a couple of roads and tried to mushroom hunt. It didn't really turn out all that well. I'm a little inexperienced.
They hunted you.
They did. They hunted me. Other than that, I've been working a lot and watching cartoons with the baby. and trying to catch up on all the shows that we just talked about. I did finish Jessica Jones.
Oh, did you?
And it's fantastic.
I am not.
You can talk about it if you want or whatever. I don't know. I didn't get a chance to watch a whole lot of TV over the break. Okay.
I'm going to spoil it.
I mean, I will say what I have already said to you, and that Jessica Jones is the finest thing that Marvel has ever done.
It is fantastic.
But
it is almost Orphan Black status as far as
show. Yeah.
Like, it's very close. Yeah. Which is
like those first season ones where you're like, what the hell's going on here? Constant, oh my God, moments. Yeah, Jessica Jones. And yes, I will give to you, everybody, that without the rest of the Marvel Universe, this show would not have the impact that it does. You need everything else because this is some very real shit going down in that universe. And that makes it fascinating. Also, what the hell's going on? And kudos to David Tennant. David Tennant.
And it gets better.
I would imagine.
It gets better.
Every time you see him. Like five or six, I forget.
It gets better.
Oh, it would have to. But you know, little snippets. There's little snippets. And every time he gets just more and more. And I know there's more of him. So it's only going to get more amazingly crazy. And I need to do this because I'm a very bad person. And I've not started season two of Daredevil.
We've been busy.
I know. We should, again, so our schedules no longer line up. We used to be able to, like, Thursday nights do show and stuff or whatever, but then they changed Saucy's schedule. So now, all three of us, this is a rare moment where all three of us are in the house at nighttime at the same time.
Right.
It hardly ever happens anymore. It's crazy. So we're working on that. So if you'd like to be a guest on the show, you should let us know. We should try to do something. Send a note to podcast@geekradio.com.
So also, I'm almost done with season two of Daredevil.
I know you are. So?
I needed something to watch when I was at home during the times when I wasn't busy. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's pretty excellent. There's been mention of Jessica Jones. She hasn't shown up.
Right.
And I don't know that she will. I doubt it. Maybe.
They might go to a bar.
But I doubt it. I kind of almost expected him to show up in Jessica Jones.
Oh, see, no.
Because, I mean, they're both in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, but, you can do that eventually. No, for her story, right. No, he would not have fit. He would not have fit in the story.
Right. But, no, that's a spoiler.
So here's the podcast where we can't tell you anything. That's right. So thanks for being here. We do appreciate it. Woo!
Other than that, I've been trying to get the garden ready. We're in frost warning tonight. It's supposed to drop down to possibly 27 tonight and Thursday night.
Crazy. So we'll get warm again.
I've tarped everything, but if it frosts, I can replant.
There you go.
I need it to get warm outside because...
He did say the Farmer's Almanac said the last frost would be sometime in April, right?
Next week. I'm kind of getting over having 13 tomato plants, 7 bell pepper plants, 6 snapdragons, 6 impatiens, no, 6 pansies, 3 passion flower plants, a mouse melon, and 2 ground cherries in a corner of my room. It's a bit much.
Yeah.
But you love nature.
I do.
So it's right there near you.
Right.
It's exactly what you wanted.
Yeah. But I think that's been my geeky week.
Wow. Okay, well. Week. That's an interesting way of putting it.
Sweet.
The most current thing I guess I should talk about is the Miitomo app.
We talked about it on one of the daily shows.
From Nintendo. Yes, indeed we did. It's Club Nintendo. It's how they're doing that now. Used to, you buy games, there would be a little note inside. You'd go and you'd put the code in and you'd earn up points and blah, blah, blah. And if you did enough, you got free junk. And anyway, this is sort of the new version of that. But what this is an app where... either the me you've already created or you can make one, in which it sort of made one of me. I let it try to do that, but it something about it was off. It was a bizarro version of me. It wasn't
face shape or something.
It wasn't quite right. I don't know what it was. But with this, it's if you ever played Tamagotchi Life, which I didn't, but from the descriptions I read of it, it sounds a lot like that. Your me just sort of hangs out. You can buy different outfits. You can earn coins, various types of coins. There are the coins to use within the app itself. There are 2 sets of coins, a platinum and a gold, which is for different rewards that you can get. The Picross game, the Zelda Picross game that we talked about, you can buy that with platinum coins you have to earn with this game doing different mini missions. So there's been a bunch of people on it, and I've already seen a bunch of people go, okay, I'm done with you, and left. And J.C. Hutchins, one of them. I saw him on Facebook, was like, okay, Mitomo, it's not you, it's me, we're done. And it just struck me as odd, because I'm like, well, I don't understand. Because it's not a game, it's not something fascinating, but it's for, if you were doing the Club Nintendo stuff, it's still a way to do that, and you've got Miis, and it's another social way to talk to people without actually seeing them. So, yeah, I'm there, so if you're on, by all means, find me. Hi, everybody, good to see you.
Hey.
You know, the Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon is a pretty damned fun time. Although I do have to apologize, apparently I forgot that you were watching it, and I watched like I don't even know how many episodes we had on the DVR and deleted
and
them.
And deleted
while you were gone. And I feel bad about that, because I forgot you had started watching that right before you left. So,
but I came back like, oh, I had 30 minutes. There were 25 episodes. Now there's one new
one. I don't think there were 25.
There were a lot,
I think there might have been 12 or 13. There I don't think it was 25. Lot. There were 25 Billy on the Streets. There were a lot of stuff backed up on the DVR. It's a kind of crazy thing. So we've seen a few episodes of Supergirl, except we've seen all of Supergirl except for the one that everybody watched, the Supergirl Flash crossover. Right. We have it done. We were waiting for you on that, Mr. Man, so we got to do that one. But Supergirl, taking an interesting turn, I do believe. We've had another version of Red Kryptonite, which I thought was...
Flicking the peanuts.
Thank you for the Superman 3 reference. As soon as Maxwell Lord makes his own fake version of Kryptonite and says, well, I didn't get it quite right, I looked at you, I think, right there and said, there better be a scene where she's flicking peanuts at a mirror. And thank you, Supergirl, for delivering on that moment. The only thing that would have worked better would be if Richard Pryor had actually presented the fake Kryptonite. But there was no way that was ever really going to happen.
Is he still alive?
No.
That's why. There's no way. There was no way it was ever really going to happen. But I find it weird, because what's odd about that, that means in this universe, because multiverse, in this universe, Superman has never run across some red kryptonite, because Jimmy didn't seem like any of that.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And again, it's red kryptonite in a way that's not quite right. It's still in this one, just kind of like in Smallville, she's a jerk. You know, she's going to beat people up and whatever. And red kryptonite, and why they never get this right in these shows, I'll never understand, because it's such a wonderful rotating plot device. Red kryptonite always did something different to Superman every time he was exposed to it, but it only lasted for like 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes you've got like a giant mutated brain or something. All these different things you could do, but they always go on the, well, he's just going to be an asshole now. All right. Red means it's rage. Fun. Sure. And you could do that once, but you know, you'd have the ability to do that more than that. But no, looking forward to finally seeing the crossover, because apparently that was the highest rated episode of Supergirl so far. So kudos. Kudos on that. I bought Star Wars so I can watch it again. And I'm sure there's plenty of things that I have forgotten. So until that moment, I guess we'll have to do shows and do them a little more often.
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor, from their lips to your basement, to your underground lair, it's GRD News.
Well, we've got the app, and then we've also got some conventions coming up. We have a chance to see us in live shows at the end of this month, April, the 29th, 30th, and 1st of May is RavenCon.
Yeah.
And this year it'll be in Williamsburg instead of Richmond. Just didn't have a hotel that could accommodate the con. So we'll be going to Williamsburg this year. And
that hotel is going to make more money having a wedding than having RavenCon. Good luck on that.
And then Memorial Day weekend near the end of May, we'll be at Balticon. Indeed. And that is also at a new hotel. It's in the city downtown instead
in
of the Hunt Valley Inn area, and George R. R. Martin will be the guest of honor there. And it was very nice to meet him at Mysticon.
Yes.
So yeah,
we'll wonder if he'll do the same.
Bring something else to get signed. Additionally, if there's any interest in a warm weather pub crawl, you should let me know. You can send a message to podcast@geekradiodaily.com and let us know if there's interest in the warm weather pub crawl. That was pretty fun that one time that we did it. Yeah.
Also, using our Patreon funds, we were able to get a H2 recorder, which will allow us to take clearer recordings when we do pub crawls and when we do conventions. And
when we're sitting in random panels was great because we don't always have the gear set up.
Right. So this is really exciting for us.
Because that would have been perfect for your Urban Legends panel.
Yeah.
And this would have been perfect for that. We could have got the whole thing of that because that was a fascinating little talk, I thought.
It really was.
Yeah. So thank you. Patreon works well because multiple people chip in just a little bit here and there, and it really goes a long way to helping to make our podcast better.
So, you know, again, thank you. Thank you very much. Do appreciate it. If you like, by all means, check out our page. Thank you if you do. Whatevs. That's Fantasticles, the Roman God of Awesomeness.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Well, we have some voicemails waiting is what we have, because I don't know if people just forgot how to write or just only wrote The Daily Show, where we started getting quite a bit of mail recently. And thank you for that as well. So we have a voicemail from Anna.
Hello, geeks. This is Anna. I've been slowly catching up on last week's episodes, and I wanted to call and say that my favorite part of the Mysticon episode was the ending, where we got to hear the wonderful Rich podcasting's Rich Sigrid sing along with the theme music at the end. It was quite amusing, especially because apparently Billy Flynn's microphone was not recording. It was only getting picked up by everybody else's, which meant couldn't really hear him doing the whole ending thing. Also, a bonus. Bye.
Yes.
That was so weird. Like, we had to put a XLR splitter down there at the end, and on the quick audio test we did, everything was fine. But yeah, playing it back, it's like my mic was just totally dead and it was cranked up there like nobody's business. Very weird. But because I have a big mouth, it was picked up by everybody else's microphones. But yeah, there at the end, is Siegfried doing the theme? I know I need to, you know, there's quite a few things from shows that I need to get, make clips out of. Including that Friday one. Here's one from Rob.
Good evening. This is Rob. Hey, I'm just calling in to let you know that I've been watching everything you've been recommending, except for Doctor Who, because I just can't quite get into it enough. I have been watching Agent Carter, and
should have also been our geeky suite.
Is it me, or does Prison Break just keep popping in your mind when you're watching that DC Legend? And they're definitely playing over-the-top comical characters. Whatever. So anyway, I just thought I'd give you some voicemail so you don't have to have none. So until I can get gamma rays to actually, you know, turn me into the Hulk, make my GRD.
Thank you, Rob. That's incredibly sweet. Rob did send us an email for The Daily Show quite recently that pointed out that, yeah, not only do you have people from Prison Break in it, but they certainly have a lot of prisons they have to break out of in Legends of Tomorrow, or gulags,
right.
Or just other kind of. So yeah, that's a little kind of weird. But yeah, wow, because it really has been since Mysticon. That's insane. And we, our schedule is so that was awful, because we should take a moment right now to go, oh my God, Mysticon was so incredibly freaking awesome.
It was great.
And I still kind of want to just do another entire show just talking about all the wonderful, fun, fantastic things that happened, and how I don't know if George R. R. Martin's going to do the same thing at Balticon. But I really love the prices on his autographs.
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic. Shut your damn dirty mouth.
Tree-fitty.
Oh, my Lord. We're going to go there. Are we fine? If you'd like to drop a note, please do. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or you can send a voicemail like those fantastically fun people did by sending a note to
510-GRD-CREW.
The number is who, now what?
510-GRD-CREW.
Going online now. With a look at the many places you can go to get your geek on.
Are you sure this is a sci-fi convention? It's full of nerds!
It's the GRD Con Report.
Con! That's right, it is the GRD Con Report. A look at all the places you can go to get your geek on, including what for the month of May?
On the weekend of the 5th of May, FroliCon in Atlanta, Georgia, CostumeCon 34 in Madison, Wisconsin, and
come on, yeah, do it.
Das Frühlingsfest der Volksmusik.
I'm sorry, I totally gave you that one.
And Bad Salads Differs.
Anybody that got that was gonna have a good time.
I remember to die.
That's a Filk festival. By the way, folks, the 12th
through
the 15th of May, you got Les Intergalactiques. That's a festival of science fiction in Lyon, France. Not Lyon. Nebula Awards Weekend in Chicago, Illinois. Stroke Con. It's 2016 in Vegas. It's a horror con. Shiflu in Chicago, Illinois. Atlanta Con in Atlanta, Georgia. Safaricon in Zagreb, Croatia. Go, Croatians. Steampunk World's Fair in Piscataway, New Jersey. And Weedonopolis 2016, which they helpfully let you know is a Joss Whedon con, in parentheses, so you can hear it, in Los Angeles, California.
May 20th through the 22nd weekend, KeyCon in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and also Nauticon in Provincetown.
I thought you said it was a con.
Nauticon in Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Nauticon. It's a Nauticon,
but it's not a Nauticon.
It's naughty.
Naughty, like
nautical.
Like boats.
I'm on a boat.
Boats and hoes.
The weekend
boats
of the 26th through the 29th, we have MomoCon, which is animation, gaming, and comics in Atlanta, Georgia. The 27th through the 30th, we have BaltzaCon 48.
I've heard of
in
them.
Baltimore, Maryland. That's where we'll be. That same weekend, we also have BayCon in San Francisco, California.
The Bay City Rollers Convention.
Oh, that would be awesome. Also that weekend, we have Conquest, with a capital T, Conquesty, in Kansas City, Missouri. Also that weekend, TimeGate, a Doctor Who and Stargate convention in Atlanta, Georgia.
Really
Atlanta's
the place to be.
And then WisCon 40 in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, so it's a WisCon thing. So those are all the places you can go. If you know of a convention coming up that we should let the world know about, by all means, drop us a note at podcast@geekradiodaily.com, because we would love to tell folks all about those kind of things. So, of course, we got a main topic coming up, but this time it's a little weird. It's almost like we're breaking out the old GRD street crew. What's going on?
Well, we have roving reporter Laura, Gypsy Pirate, went to TotalCon, which is a super fun gaming convention, and she was able to interview quite a few people on our behalf, send us some amazing audio. Laura Spencer, thank you so much. You are the best of all time, and I'll let her take it away.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
The biggest.
Tell them, Robin.
Holy superlatives, Batman! It's really exciting.
Greetings, citizens. Join me, your old bat chum, John S. Drew, on my journey to discover what it is I love about the classic 1966 Batman television series on the Batcave podcast. Each episode, I'm joined by a guest host as we review the classic television series. There's a new episode every 2 weeks. Same bat time, same bat channel on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at thebatcavepodcast.com.
Holy memoranda, folks! Make a note not to miss it.
Good thinking, Robin.
Hi, everyone. This is Ken Mader with the film Displacement, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Now, the cast and I would be happy to answer a few questions.
Oh, yes, so many questions. Me, Mr. Stewart.
Yes, you there.
Oh.
Yes, I have a question. Oftentimes my household sponges accumulate an awful amount of buildup. What can I do to prevent this?
That's an excellent question. It's very important to thoroughly wring out your sponges after every usage. This will prevent the accumulation of grime and bacteria. A dry sponge is a happy sponge.
That's not a Star Trek question.
I have a question for Jonathan Frakes. It's itch on the back of my leg, and I can't figure out if it's a bug bite or dry skin.
Do you take hot showers?
Yes.
Dry skin.
Thanks.
These aren't Star Trek questions. What the hell?
I have a question for Gates McFadden. I've got an artesian well on my property, and the water pressure is lousy. Any suggestions?
I would check the point first before repriming it. But remember that the summer months take a particular toll on any region's aquifer, depending on the local climate.
This is horse.
And that's the last question. Thank you for coming. You've been wonderful.
You bastards. I'll get my question answered one way or another.
This is Laura Nicole for Geek Radio Daily, and I am at Total Confusion number 30, and I have got with me Ben Gerber, one of our industry guests. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And for those of us who don't know what you do, give a brief synopsis of what you do and why you're here at TotalCon.
Sure. Well, I run a website called Troll in the Corner, which is focused on all things tabletop, mostly board games. Published a couple of role-playing games, Argyle and Crew, and Something Went Wrong. And now I have my first two board games out. Swamped is already out, and Ninja will be coming out in April. Hopefully more to come.
That's awesome. And what do you like about TotalCon that's had you coming back so many times?
Well, they feed me, which is always good. It's a great convention. It's the biggest convention of just gaming in New England, which is what I'm here for, is to game, meet people that game, run games, play games, all that stuff. So that's what keeps me coming back, mostly is the people.
And this is Laura Nicole with Geek Radio Daily, and I'm here at TotalCon 30, and I've got one of our directors, Angelia Parento. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Good morning.
And so tell us a little bit about TotalCon 30.
Well, we're very happy to have reached the 30-year mark, but TotalCon is New England's largest tabletop gaming convention. We're pretty much solely dedicated to tabletop gaming in all the forms, from role-playing to miniatures, board games, young player. You have it, we got it.
So you've got how many games going simultaneously, do you think?
This year we clocked in at a little over 650 different events going on over the entire four-day weekend.
How many years have you been working with the convention?
I've actually been here, this is going on my 10th year, because I started about the 20th.
And what keeps you coming back?
I absolutely love it. I love the people. I love our industry guest stars and the gaming and the whole sense of community. And I believe in the positive benefits of face-to-face gaming, so I'm here to promote it as much as I can.
Do you get any game time in yourself?
Very rarely, though this weekend I am very proud that I've been invited to a special game by Tim Kask for ladies to help us newbies get the feel of old school D&D, and he's running it right off the cuff, especially for us, so I'm excited but nervous at the same time because he's such a important industry guest.
As someone who's been in an all-ladies game, you're going to have a great time, and I hope that it meets up to all your expectations.
I think so. You know, he's running it to hopefully get more women into the gaming, and so I'm going to try it and spread the good word for him.
And welcome back to the TotalCon 30 coverage. For Geek Radio Daily, again, this is Laura Nicole, Gypsy Pirate, and I am here with Tim Kask. Now, for those of you who don't know, Tim Kask is amazingly influential to the whole reason that this con is happening. So, Tim, can you give us a little bit of your background?
Well, I was the first full-time employee at TSR Hobbies Incorporated, and therefore it was my pleasure and my opportunity to I worked on all the supplements for D&D after Greyhawk. I started Dragon Magazine, Little Wars Magazine, and the last big thing I did was I helped Gary Midwife basic and advanced D&D first edition.
Awesome. And so at this con, you and I were just talking, this con really wouldn't be happening if RPG games like Dungeons & Dragons, which I believe is the first one, right?
Yes, we were the first.
Yeah, so conventions like this really wouldn't be happening without that.
Well, but to study that, to pin that accurately, D&D gave an enormous boost to the gaming hobby. We created a new element of gaming, because role-playing did not exist as a game before D&D, and therefore it had attracted a wider spectrum of people. I've been playing war games since I was in the sixth grade in 1961. All through school, I knew one other guy. He and I played each other. I went in the military, spent 4 years there. I taught another guy how to play a board game, and we played it. And then I went to college and found a club of about 15 other guys that all gamed, and I thought that was pretty damned amazing, because I didn't know there were 15 other people that played, because as far as I knew, there were only three of us in my experience. And then Gary conned me into, talked me into going to Gen Con, and we became friends, and I ended up doing some my group became a playtesting group, and I went to work for TSR Hobbies on the day of its incorporation, 1st of September 1975, as the editor, and eventually we were going to take Strategic Review and make it into a magazine. It ended up becoming two magazines, and I was Gary's editor because Gary was the primary writer at the time, and so for the first couple, 3 years, I basically edited everything. And at the time, editing was more than just fixing a phrase. It was often figuring out what these two paragraphs had to do with each other and having to write the paragraph that went in between to make it all work.
Right.
So I ended up writing a great deal of copy for those first supplement books. But that's what they hired me to do, and so I did it.
Awesome. So at this convention, you're running games. I understand you've got a Q&A that you're doing later today.
Mm-hmm.
And we just came from the Ladies Only RPG game. What inspired you to run a Ladies Only campaign?
I've been married to my wife since 1970. Okay, do the math, almost 46 years.
Yeah.
Seven, 8 months ago, she came home and said words to me that she'd not said in 45 years. Honey, would you run a game for me? When I recovered my senses and came back to consciousness, it turned out that a bunch of the ladies she Zumba'd with found out what I did, and they were all pressuring her for me to run a game because they all wanted to learn how to role play, and one of them played 1 hour once in college years and years ago. So I said, okay, and so I tailored it to the Zumba ladies. They were members of a group of lay women that were into health and fitness and good diets and all this kind of stuff, and I made up a story about how nasty bugbears had broken in and stolen the finger bone of the guy who invented Zumba, a lot of inside jokes. But I boiled it down to be less intimidating, and I think that male or female, a lot of people are intimidated by the guys walking around with 14 pounds of books under their arms. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know all that. As you found out today, 6 characteristics, strength, intelligence, etc. How many hit points do you have? What kind of weapon are you carrying so you know what you hit? That's all you need. Mm-hmm. I had those 6 ladies playing in 10 minutes from sitting down at the table. And 4.5 hours later, the adventure was completed. And I thought, well, that was a heck of a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. My friend Jim Ward, old ex-TSR person such as myself, and the author of Metamorphosis Alpha, has been running ladies-only games at Gary Con for several years now. And he keeps telling me how much fun it is. And at the risk of offending anyone, there are men and women play differently. That's why we have 2 sexes. You know, we approach things from different things, and by cooperating, we have survived all these millennia. And he would tell me how they were very very different. And I found out in that first running that a good DM poses some hurdles and puzzles, and he tries to think which way they'll go to be ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not to thwart, but to be ready to continue the story down that alley. And they had knocked on doors and gone down alleys that I had not even foreseen, which delights me. I love it when a group comes up with an idea that I hadn't thought of first. That shows me that they're active, they've got a synergy going on with their ideas, they're thinking out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Women are collaborative is the word I'm looking for. Jim had told me that. Merle Rasmussen, who designed Top Secret, has run all women games, and he said the same thing. The most effective groups that he's ever run were women because they had no egos to submerge. They collaborated, they solved the problem, they got in, they got the secret documents, and they got out. No vain heroics, no looking good, no studly stuff. And I found the same thing. They were just throwing ideas out there, ideas I'd never anticipated. And I find that challenging because I've been doing this since 1974.
Mm-hmm.
I find it challenging when a group can come up with stuff that I didn't foresee. I don't claim to be omniscient, but I've seen a lot, and mm-hmm. It takes a while to come up with an idea that'll surprise me. We came up with one today in the game that was like, yeah, good idea. Too bad those are male goats and you can't milk them. But
sweet.
Nobody.
The trees like Tarzan.
Yeah, man, nobody ever thought to, well, we're out of food. Can we milk the livestock? So, and again, I've taken enormous grief for this thing already in some of the social media about being a sexist and all that. I like old school. Old school is very simple in that very few numbers, no charts, no tables, no skills, no abilities. Anything's possible. It might not be feasible, but it's possible. Mm-hmm. And all you need is a piece of paper, a pencil, and some dice, and let's go play. And I actually think, now I'm a chauvinist in this regard, I think old school is harder to play because you have to think more. Mm-hmm. You don't have a table or a chart or a special skill or a certain ability that is just going to give you this vital piece of information you need to complete your adventure. You have to ask the questions. You have to gather information. Old school is about gathering information. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there's no shame in running away to live to fight another day. Mm-hmm. If you're playing in a group and you go into a town and there's rumors of, well, somebody's messing with the sheep, and something a little bit bigger, badder happened over here, and they think there's a wyvern setting a nest up in the local foothills, a bunch of low-level guys don't go out and attack the wyvern. Mm-hmm. That's stupid. You go find out what's messing with the sheep. You get a little experience, which in game terms is good.
Yep.
You go to the next one up because now you're a little tougher and better, and you solve that role and you get a little more experience. Now you're ready to go look at the wyvern. Mm-hmm. Today everybody just wants to go look at the wyvern and why wonder why it didn't work out so well.
Yeah.
Well, you're low level. And unless you're playing Goodman Games, DCC, Dungeon Crawl Classics, which I think is a brilliant design, whereas you sit down with an entire stack of characters and whoever's alive at the end is the one you start with the next game. That's the antithesis of what we do, of trying to nurture that character along and make him more powerful and find neat stuff that he can use later. Old school, at level 9 or 10, you retired a character, you built yourself a keep, hired some men-at-arms and went out and had a duchy or whatever, and we dig another character out of our collection and start playing again all over. Nowadays, they do all this metagaming and power gaming and 46th level this and 37th level that, and I just don't find that to be a whole lot of fun. I don't need to go take on Odin and Thor to have a good time.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and talk with me. And thank you guys for listening. We will have more of TotalCon 30 coverage with Geek Radio Daily.
My name is Melissa Lewis Gentry, and I am the store manager of Modern Myths Comics and Games in Northampton, Massachusetts.
Okay. So I'm coming to you, and I'm saying, oh, the last game that I played that I liked was World of Darkness Mage the Awakening.
Okay.
And I want to try something new.
Great. And there's a bunch of urban fantasy style RPGs out there right now, a lot of them really good. I'm a big fan of those that are considered powered by the apocalypse, where they use the Apocalypse World engine. Mm-hmm. So Urban Shadows is one that I really enjoy a whole lot.
That we are currently playing.
We are currently playing in a game of it.
So as a disclaimer, Melissa is also a very good friend that I met through role playing, and it's just happenstance that we're hanging out together.
Yeah, and she's not sucking up to the GM at all.
I just don't want to die.
Yeah. I make no promises. So Urban Shadows is fantastic and wonderful. It's that's out of Magpie Games, does that. Monster Hearts is also really great if you want to play more of an urban fantasy, more like Supernatural. If you want to be Dean, if you want to smash the monsters each week, Monster of the Week is the one for you. If you want to have teen monster drama, if you want to be like a teen mage, then you're going to play Monster Hearts by one of my favorite designers of all time, Avery McDaldno. That is a fantastic game. That's more like you're playing Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the role-playing game.
I think one of the main misconceptions that I hear from people when I say, oh yeah, there's a gaming convention going on, and they say, like Dungeons & Dragons? That's not really my deal. And I'm like, well, there are other systems.
There are. And also, This particular Total Con is very much a traditional RPG convention, and so there is a ton of D&D here, a ton of Pathfinder, but a lot of people, you know, they might judge Dungeons and Dragons from their first GM, and part of the experience of role playing is really the people that are at the table and the story that you create together. And every time you sit down, it's going to be different, regardless of what system you use. Really, you're all just a bunch of people sitting down to tell a story together. And I feel that sometimes the systems get more harshly judged when it might be something where, you know, maybe the GM was sick that day. You know, maybe someone had a bad day. Maybe it's or, I mean, very rarely. Maybe someone's not very, a very good GM. But more often, it's like maybe a bunch of players all have different ideas of what's fun. I rarely blame a system as being the cause of that.
Right. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with us. Okay. And where can people find more about your store?
You can find more about us at www.modern-myths.com.
And you're on Twitter as well, right?
We are on Twitter at Modern Myths.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we're back. This is Laura Nicole, the roving reporter for Geek Radio Daily, and I am here with Keisha from RKO. She is currently dressed as a very convincing Buffy Summers.
Oh, thank you.
So, Keisha, tell us a little bit about RKO.
So, RKO, well, the name comes from a reference in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is the show that we perform the most often. It's our most popular one. RKO Army is a cast that travels all over New England. We've done shows in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut. You know, we kind of go wherever people ask us to go. And we perform a whole bunch of different shows. We perform shadow casts of, I might forget something because there are a lot. Currently, we do the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Repo the Genetic Opera, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the Once More with Feeling episode, Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog. We do Serenity and Firefly, the Janestown episode. We used to do Out of Gas, but we don't do that anymore unless there's a request. We do Shock Treatment, which is the sequel to Rocky Horror. We do The Devil's Carnival, which is done by the same people who did Repo the Genetic Opera. And I feel like I'm forgetting something. We do a lot.
You're kind of on the spot, so that's forgivable. So this con, they've currently got Janestown going in the background, which I'm highly enjoying. what do you like about coming and performing at conventions?
Oh, man. I mean, it depends on the convention because every convention has something a little bit different to offer. Like, one of the ones that we perform at a lot of the time is Temple Con, which is a totally different flavor than Total Con. So every con's got its own feel and its own reason that we love it. But Total Con, I think one of the reasons that we really like it, at least one of the reasons that I really like it, is that they always ask us to do a wide range of shows. We get a lot of exposure for some of the shows that don't normally get that much exposure. Like, we don't always do Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog, or Janestown, and now we've got an audience coming to see that, and I think that's really cool. The other thing that I really like is that, you know, we get free admission into the convention, which is always fun.
It's always fun.
So then when we have time, we can, you know, wander around, check out the booths, check out the sites. So I just think it's really cool to be able to go to all the different conventions and see what each one has to offer, because we've performed... Let's put it this way. The last convention that we performed at before this one was the Fet Flea in Warwick. So that's a very different feel than here, but it's like, it's nice. It's nice getting that variety and seeing different conventions and different stuff.
Awesome. So are you only playing Buffy, or what are you playing throughout the weekend?
Tonight I'm only playing Buffy, and then tomorrow I am in Repo the Genetic Opera as one of Roddy's bodyguards, an addict, and also a genturn. This is one of my later weekends. I have had weekends before in which I was in every single show that we did, which is a rush, but by the end you're like, I just want to go to bed. Like, this is so exhausting, especially we did Super Mega Fest recently. I think it was this past fall. And when we did Super Mega Fest, we did, I can't even remember, it was either 5 or 6 shows in one day. Back to back to back. It was something. We got there at 10 in the morning, and then we ended up performing shows all throughout the day. We rounded out with a performance of Thriller, because it was around Halloween time. And we ended up leaving, I'd say, around 11 or midnight. It was a long day.
I bet.
Yeah.
And
Where can our listeners find more information about RKO?
Well, you can go to www.rkoarmy.com. We also have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram. We have Twitter. If you basically just Google RKO Army, you'll find all of the different websites that we're on. I would say that the website is probably the best one to find the shows that we're doing. It has a whole list of all of the shows that we're doing, where we're doing them, when they are, you know, what different productions we're doing. So I would definitely invite people to check us out there because, you know, if you're in this area and you're like, well, Total Con is a little bit far, it's in Mansfield, I'm in like Connecticut or something, never fear, we will be in Connecticut, I think, next month. Mm-hmm. Just a couple of weeks, actually. So we, you know, we bounce around. So if you're in New England, there will be some place for you to see us. And awesome. I highly recommend that you do because we have a really good time. We love what we do and we try to get people involved. And, you know, whenever I'm in a show, I tend to like go out and sit on people. And like for Buffy, spoiler alert, during the little training montage with Giles, I'm definitely going to be using people as like human punching bags and stuff like that. So if you're in there, maybe it'll be you. Who knows?
Oh, sweet. Totally. And we're back. This is Laura Nicole, the Gypsy Pirate, roving reporter for Geek Radio Daily. And I have with me two members of the MythWits podcast. We've got Mike and we've got Peter. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, going pretty good. We just talked to a stormtrooper who is still outside and keeping a very careful eye on us, probably because I have a microphone. What are you guys thinking?
Well, you know, I was thinking that, you know, when I see the Star Wars movies and stuff, you know, and the stormtroopers, they get hit with blasters and stuff, and that armor doesn't seem to help them at all. You know, they wear all this armor.
Yeah. He's coming.
Okay, hold on, wait a minute.
I gotta put my Android phone away.
That's not the droids they're looking for.
Yes.
All right, so, you know, like, even when the Ewoks hit them with a stick on their helmet and they go down, and I'm like, I don't understand this armor thing.
Everything's fine. How are you?
Nothing to see here.
We're talking about the con, I swear. Okay.
I think it's as good as the plastic that it's made of. That's about as good as the...
Much, right? My brother would be burning holes in it, right?
Oh, gosh. So how are you liking the con so far?
Oh, this is my first Total Con. I'm super excited. There's a lot of games. I've gotten to play a lot of games, play test a lot of games that are still being developed.
Like a socially unacceptable game.
I may have started playing a socially unacceptable game, which has introduced me to a lot of new friends.
That's good, yeah. That was sort of the point of that. I mean, that was like another point of the game is that as that grows, if Steve is able to push that out and, you know, keep it motivated, you'll be able to go to places like Dragon Con and run into, like, running into all kinds of people you never met before.
Absolutely. So for those of you who don't know, there is a game being played called Socially Unacceptable. Anyone with a socially unacceptable tag on their con badge is playing the game. And there are certain cards that you have that will allow you to attack another person with a socially unacceptable card. I'm looking at one right now that's called Ice Ice Baby, which tells you to drop an ice cube down your victim's shirt and hand them the card.
And if you're intimate enough with them, you know, pants are acceptable.
Yeah, you know. So it's things like that. I had one earlier that was called Huggles. That's how I met Cody Pondsmith. So, yeah. But, you know, if you're not a contact person, it's probably not a wise game to play.
Yeah.
Or wiser still to ask, is it okay if I play this card on you?
We started with the Not Safe for Work deck as a jump off point instead of building a, you know, safe for work version of it first. Like, this is when Pete got me with this morning, you know, tell a penis joke. So I gotta tell, you know, I guess pay it forward, as it were.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I do have a card that asks me to tell an inappropriate joke, but I will save that for off the microphone.
Yeah, absolutely. I got a joke for you.
And this is one of the idea of this game came up when Mike, Steve, and I were we driving home together?
Driving home from the con.
Yeah, we were driving home from the con, and we were talking about it, and we were like, we should do this. And then Steve jumped on it, and he put
Steve,
it together.
Last name.
Wallet. Steve Wallet of Nerd Rage News.
Oh, yep.
He decided that he was going to go ahead and do it. So I was just like, all right, man, go ahead. Take it away.
Yeah, and it's been a lot of fun so far.
It's a good game.
I think I'm probably one of like three women that are playing, and I'm wearing a corset today, so I might be a little bit intimidating. But I hope that doesn't stop anybody.
And hard to put ice down your shirt.
Right, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, no.
I do have a targeting system, you know. Right. Stay on target.
That's actually what that looks like, you know.
Yes. It's like shooting womp rats back in Beggar's Canyon.
They're only about 2 meters long.
Hey, nice womp rats.
This herd at TotalCon, nice womp rats. Hold on.
I'm going to give you my bad joke card. There you go. Gotcha.
Yeah, it made me laugh. Oh,
by the way, socially unacceptable, one of the things you have to do is after you've completed your task on the card, you have to give that person the card.
I now have 3 cards, but I got rid of 2 of them at once, good. So that was good. All right, and so you guys had a panel. Well, I had a couple of panels last night.
It was kind of a show. We do a show.
Yeah.
And I call it Blixapalooza because Blix is a nickname that I go by.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like a whole flurry of things on a Friday night. Although I think next year I might back off that. I don't know. We'll see because it's I got some other things I want to do. But we put on a show.
Yeah.
So we did MythWits. And then we did Cube of Death, and then we did Game School.
Yeah.
Which is 3 of the podcasts that I put together.
Cube of Death is probably my favorite trivia-based RPG game I have ever played.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So thanks for introducing me to that.
Sure. And there's a whole podcast. There's a competition going on. Laura played in it, and it's a single elimination. People get trivia questions. Yeah, take it away from me. People get trivia questions to resolve actions.
Yep.
So, if you run into a trap, you answer a trivia question to get out of it, so forth and so on.
Yeah. Okay. And what else are you guys doing at this con?
That's about it. We're chilling out now. We've done our job.
All the hard work is done. Now you get to play.
That's true. We are promoting the MythWits.
Yeah.
Anybody can go to our either our website, MythWits.com, or go to YouTube and search MythWits. And
we have YouTube/MythWits.
Yeah.
Yep. And welcome back. This is Lord Cole, the Gypsy Pirate and roving reporter for Geek Radio Daily. We are poolside at TotalCon 30, and I have with me the journalist and owner of Nerd Rage News, Steve Willett. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Nice to be here with you.
And so we've been talking at length this weekend. We keep running into each other with the socially unacceptable game. That we covered earlier with Peter and Mike. So tell us a little bit about Nerd Rage News and what that is all about.
All right, Nerd Rage News is a blog site where we report on various things dealing with nerd culture, anything from technology, crowdfunding, comic books, cosplay, conventions, you name it. If it's nerd-oriented, we try to report on it.
You also came up with the socially unacceptable game. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, Pete and Mike, who you interviewed earlier, drove me home from this convention last year. And during the drive, we were making lots of very inappropriate jokes. And we were like, we should make a card game out of this. And we started discussing what the cards might become. And it pretty much ended there. And then a few months later, I was like, I'm going to do it. So I put the cards together, and the cards contain all kinds of crazy nonsense, like smacking people on their ass or stealing their drinks or various other things.
Sticking them with the bill is the one that I saw.
Well, here, you can look through these. What do we have here? Can I use foul language?
You can.
I can. So we have things like hentai, where you have to scream about how great the hentai is that you're showing to somebody and show it to them in the middle of the convention, or drink thief, where you walk up and steal their drink. There's truth or dare, deal with the consequences,
I think this one might have happened to me, but nobody gave me a card for it. It's stare into my eyes. Get your victim's attention and stare into their eyes and tell them how much you love them.
Yes.
And I think that happened, but they didn't give me the card, and it was awesome, and I was like, I'm speechless. Okay.
That is great. I've had that one used on me twice today. And unfortunately, both times that it happened, they had grab ass, so I got my ass grabbed too.
Oh, man, that's awesome. What is it about TotalCon that got you to come back?
Well, last year, TotalCon had me here for my book release for Blasphemous Cocktails. Mm-hmm. And they treated me really well. It's a small convention, but I've attended conventions all over the country. Gen Con, obviously, is mm-hmm. the big, best, greatest thing on earth.
Yeah.
But when you get to a lot of the small conventions, there's no organization, bad structure, the odor's horrible, a lot of times the food's horrible, and it's a lot of trolls running around trolling each other.
Yeah.
We do not have any of that at this convention that I've seen. Well, occasionally, you know, but that's the convention.
Yeah.
These guys, they put on such a great show. They invited me in. They treat me like I'm family. The guests that are here, they all joke around with each other. They're all friendly with each other. Even if they're coming from entirely different sources mm-hmm. of the geek community, they show each other respect.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are there any projects that you're currently working on that you can tell us about?
Other than the card game that you've been playtesting, we are working on a deck of cards that we've already run a Kickstarter for that was successful, that allow you to play role-playing games and as a player take control from the GM on occasion to introduce plot elements.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that has been very successful. The original run of it was called Clockwork Drama. Mm-hmm. It's no longer in print.
Okay.
But it was very successful, and we are rewriting it, trying to find artists right now to make the cards look really good.
Mm-hmm.
That is the next big one that's going to come around.
Awesome. And where can people find you online?
You can find us at nerdragenews.com or blasphemypub.com. You can also find me on the Mythwits quite often. That's Pete's podcast.
Yes. We are very familiar with Pete's podcast. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me. I hope you enjoy the rest of your con.
Yeah, thank you for talking to me.
And thank you again, Laura, for the interview. Gypsy Pirate, you just did us proud. Thank you, and we're glad you had a great time at the con.
I so should have been there.
I know.
Should have been there.
It's almost like we were.
Kinda. So
what con was it?
TotalCon.
TotalCon.
I thought it was Totally Con.
Because we're totally back.
Totally outrageous. Okay.
Night.
So, hey, if you'd like to be a roving reporter and go cover a convention that we can't possibly get to, by all means, let us know that. That would be fantastic. Oh, and by the way, make sure you know that GRD is licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution Not Commercial Non-Derivative Works 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Who knows what you'll see? Okay, probably just that day's episode, but still, that's fine. That's fantastic. It's good stuff. Drop by, pick up the app. It's fun. Sorry, Apple people. More people have Android. I'm sorry. That's just the way of the world. That's just how it works. Drop us a note, won't you please, at podcast@geekradiodaily.com or send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
And theoretically, we will see you in a week.
That was great. A lot of fun. When do I get my check?
What do you think?
It stinks.
I think we need better packaging. We need a better way to show off our product.
Peace out, player.
This was exhausting. This whole experience was absolutely exhausting. You people have ruined Star Trek The Next Generation for me. You are absolutely the most insufferable group of jackasses I have ever had the misfortune of spending an extended period of time with. I hope you all die.
I still have 5 prize tickets from the carnival.
There was nothing for 5 tickets. We've been over this.
Well, but LeVar and I were going to pool ours for the Fuzzy Troll pencil topper.
Oh, yeah? You gonna share that?
Yeah, we were gonna share it.
Really? How's that gonna work?
3 days at my house, 3 days at LeVar's, and alternating Sundays.
For a pencil topper?
I have to pee again.
That's it. Goodbye.